Our Old Testament lesson this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 3 through verses 9. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Why have we fasted, and thou seest it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and thou takest no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure, and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, and to hit with wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew. We'll be reading from the 5th chapter of Matthew's gospel. And we will be reading from verses 13 through 16. And that is found on page 838 of your pew Bibles. So again, at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that you help us to hear your word. We ask that you inscribe your words on our hearts. And we give you thanks, Lord, for all that you are. We ask, Lord, this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a new official title that I want to share with you this morning. I am now officially called the pastor to the stars. That would be all of you. You all are, of course, the stars. That's what Jesus calls all of his disciples in our text this morning. Jesus says that all of us, you and I, are the light of the world. We are light. Notice he doesn't say that we should be the light of the world, or that we ought to be the light of the world, or that we may be the light of the world sometime in the future, but he says that we are the light of the world. It is all in the indicative mood. We are the light of the world. We are the community that is called to go forth and shine. It's a pretty remarkable statement when you think about it, because earlier Matthew quoted the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah says that the people who live in darkness have seen a great light. And Matthew made it clear that the light that was coming into the world, the light that had indeed come into the world, was none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, whom the Gospel of John says is the true light that comes to enlighten every person. But now Jesus, sitting atop the mountain, looks at the haggard and worn group of motley disciples that have assembled around him, and he says, "You are the light of the world. Just as I am the light of the world, you also are the light of the world. Now don't allow that light to be hidden under a bushel. I want you to take your faith public, because you are the light of the world. Go out and shine." Our passage this morning reminds us that our Christian faith is to be made visible. We are to make our faith visible in everything that we do. Our faith is to be visible not simply here at church on Sunday mornings, but our faith is to be visible at work. It's to be visible at school. It's to be visible everywhere that we are at. People ought to be able to look at us and know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should reflect God's glory in everything that we do as we make our faith visible. We don't do that in a heavy-handed way. We don't do that in a staged and theatrical way. It's not about going around doing religious kind of stuff. But people ought to be able to look at us and know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith ought to be a public faith. We ought to shine in everything that we do. We ought to make it known who we belong to. We ought to make it known in our actions, and we ought to make it known in our words. When I was a kid in Sunday school, we were told that this passage was about sharing our faith. It was about going forth and telling others about Jesus, sharing our faith and telling others about how important the Lord is in our lives. We were told to go out and shine. We sung that little song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Many of us are a little shy when it comes to sharing our faith with strangers. We allow our faith to be hidden under a bushel of middle-class respectability. Sometimes we're not very comfortable with sharing our faith. We're told that faith is something that ought to be private, something that is between us and God. It's about our own personal relationship with God. So many of us are uncomfortable expressing our faith, especially in public, especially with strangers. But we are reminded this morning that we are to let our light shine. People ought to know who we are and who we belong to. Jesus says that we are the light of the world. Now don't hide your faith, but go out and make it public. Make it public in what we do. Make it public by talking about it. Make it public. Lillian Daniels, a couple of years ago, wrote a book entitled "Talking About God," where she recounts how introducing a period of testimony into the worship service gave people an opportunity to share their faith in the worship service and to recount what God had done for them throughout the week. And she talks about how it transformed her church and how it turned the church around by letting people talk about their faith. So we are reminded, too, that we are called to share our faith and to talk about our faith and to live our faith out and to make our faith known whenever we have the opportunity. To make our faith known in every venue and all that we do, we are called to help to make our faith shine. But letting our light shine is not just about talking about it. It's also about vocation. It's about our vocation as the people of God. We are to reflect God's glory through our own lives. For the light that we have is not our own light, but it's God's light. Just as the light of the sun is dispersed by being reflected through the particles in the air, so too the light of God's glory in the world is dispersed in you and me when we let our light shine. The words light and darkness, of course, are both metaphors, which are deeply rooted in the Bible. The darkness refers to the reality of suffering and pain and evil in our world. It refers to the fallen condition not only of our world, but the fallen condition of our humanity, the fallen and debased condition of our humanity that has distorted all of our relationships with one another, our relationships with God's good creation, our relationship with God, God's self. The darkness refers to the fallen humanity that is all of us. In our deep fears, in our anxieties, in our pride, in our arrogance, we try to manipulate and exploit and control all around us. We try to manipulate and control and exploit one another. We manipulate and control and exploit God's good creation. We don't care what happens to God's good creation. And we even try to manipulate and control and exploit God. God, if you just do what we say, if we can just get you on our side. God, if you just listen to our prayers and follow our agenda. We try to control and manipulate God. That's the darkness of our world. That's the darkness of what we do to one another. That's the darkness of our fallen and debased humanity. But Jesus says this morning that you and I are the light of the world. We reflect God's glory in the world. A couple of points here are in order. First of all, it was always the vocation of Israel to be the light and guide to the nations. Israel was never called to exist for herself, but she was chosen to be God's light to the nations. She was chosen by God to show us what it means to be human. That is why God plucked Israel out of the obscurity of slavery. That is why God gave Israel the prophets and the law. That is why God made her the people of the promise. Salvation comes from the Jews, comes through the Jews. That was the Old Testament promise. Secondly, the New Testament maintains that Jesus is the climax of Israel's story and the fulfillment of Israel's promises. Jesus, as Israel's king, in his own unique life and death and resurrection, fulfills the promises of God. Jesus in solo is Israel, doing what God had always promised that God would do, bring God's light and salvation to the whole world. That is why the Gospel of John in that beautiful prologue says that Jesus was the life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. But Jesus is not just Israel in solo. Jesus is also, as the Apostle Paul says, the second Adam. He's the one that comes to show us what it really means to be a human being. He's the one that comes to show us what it means to be the image bearers of God in the world, just as God had created us to be. He is the one who comes to show us what it looks like when God's light and glory are being reflected in our lives. And now Jesus says that we too are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now go out and shine. There are a few things that we need to say this morning about being the light of the world. First of all, to be the light of the world is about relationships. It is about how we relate to one another and how we treat one another. Often we believe that our vocation as God's light bearers in the world means that we are to have some kind of privileged position. We think to be God's light bearers in the world means that God wants to make us rich, or God wants us to be happy, or God wants to bless us so that we might abound in material riches. But the Bible reminds us again and again that to be light bearers in the world is about our relationships. It's about us being in right relationship with one another. That's why God tells Israel in our Old Testament passage this morning that if they want to shine, they want to be the people that God had called them to be, they need to check their relationships. They need to go back and reassess how they're treating one another. Go back and reassess how you're treating the poor. Go back and reassess how you're treating the homeless. That's what God says. Israel wants to get close to God and wants to shine from God by their prayers and by fasting. God, why is it that we pray and we fast and you still haven't heard us? Why is it that we pray and we fast and we still are not shining as you have promised that we will shine? And God responds that if you take away the mist of you, of the yoke in your midst, if you do away with the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness. We might remember that too in our own day and age as we seek blessings for our nation. If we want our nation to shine, then prayer, national days of prayer, are not enough. Fighting for prayer in the public schools is not enough. If we want our nation to shine, then we too have to reassess our relationships, how we treat one another in our society, especially how we treat those who are the most vulnerable, how we treat the homeless, how we treat the poor, how we treat one another, the wickedness that we speak to one another. We need to go back and reassess our relationships, and when we do that, then our light will shine like the dawn. So being the bearer of God's light in the world is about our relationships. It's about how we relate to one another. Secondly, to be God's light bearers in the world is about hope. It's about living into the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When people encounter us both as individuals and also as a community of faith, what they all experience is the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In a world that is hopelessly divided along all kinds of fault lines, we ought to be a place of reconciliation where people can come and say, yes, there's hope for the unity of the world, because there in the community of faith, in the community of God's people, people are reconciled. Different people are reconciled. People we never would have thought would be reconciled in the world, there they're reconciled in the love of God. We need to be a people of hope. In a world that is hopelessly marked by distortions and half-truths and outright lies, we ought to be the community that honestly speaks honestly to one another and that speaks the truth to one another. In a world that is hopelessly marked by hatred and indifference, we should be a place of caring and love, even for our enemies. People should be able to look at us and see hope for a hopeless world. So to be the bearers of God's light in the world is to be a community of hope. And thirdly, to be the light of the world means to bear witness to what it means to be genuinely human. It is to bear witness to what it means to be a genuinely humane community that reflects the reality of who we are and what we were created to be. Jesus tells his disciples that they are the light of the world in the midst of an empire that had made its own claims to being the light. That's what the Roman Imperium said in the first century. We are the light of the world, and if you want to be a real human being, you need to imitate us. If you want to be a real human being, you need to be like us. You need to imitate our values. You need to reflect our glory. Rome is the light of the world. But Jesus told his disciples, no, Rome is not the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now don't let your light be hidden, but go out and let your light shine, because you reflect the glory of God. We live in a world that has its own vision of what it means to be a human being. And it puts that vision forth as a light for others. It is a vision of the autonomous self that is accountable to no one. We don't want to be accountable to anyone, or at least our world doesn't want to be accountable to anyone. We have our own individual rights. No one tells us what to do. We don't have to be accountable to anyone. It's a vision, as Walter Brueggemann notes, which is one-dimensionally profane in its self-regard. What is good for me is all that matters. I don't care what's good for anybody else. It's only what's good for me. If I can make a profit and, and oppress my workers, that's okay. If I can make a profit and destroy the environment, that's okay. What's only good for me, what's only good for me is what matters. But we are reminded this morning that that way of trying to be human has a dark side. It has a destructive side, and we see it again and again and again. We see it in our relationships. We see it in what we do with the world. We see it in how it has marred our relationship and understanding of God. Oftentimes, our understanding of God is that God is the big person in charge, and we want to be like God. We want to be like that. We want to be in charge. We want to be on top. We want to be in control. And it doesn't matter to us what we do to other people in order to be like our understanding of God. We think we're reflecting God's light when we're in charge, when we're in control, when we're telling other people what to do, when we're dominating other people, when we subject other people to our violence. We think that we're being like God. But we're reminded this morning that that's not what it means for us to be the light. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." We are the light of the world. And the light that we have come to reflect is the light of the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the glory of the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the glory of that God, the light of that God, is the light and glory that is characterized by the self-giving love of the cross. That is the glory that we are called to reflect. That is the light that we are called to make a part of our lives. That is the light that we are called to let shine. Unfortunately, the image of many of us Christians in the popular imagination is not a very flattering one, especially among many young people in our society. Simply to say the word Christian often brings to the minds of our contemporaries someone who is obnoxious, narrow-minded, judgmental, anti-intellectual, hypocritical. As much as I would like to blame the media for this negative portrayal, I have to say that it's not all the media's fault. Let those who have ears hear. But it is a bad rap because, as you very well know in your own lives, there are many Christians who go out and who let their light shine in the way that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ called us to let our lights shine. When I was in seminary in Atlanta, I took a course where we went into the city of Atlanta to talk with representatives from various segments of the city, trying to ascertain their respective visions for the city. We talked first with representatives from the Central Atlanta Progress, which was a consortium of business people, the real people who ran the city of Atlanta, the finance people and the bankers and the real estate moguls who actually ran the city of Atlanta. We had elected politicians there, of course, but the people who were really in charge were the business people who were behind the scenes calling the shots. They were the people who actually led and ruled in the city of Atlanta. And we had an opportunity to hear their vision for the city. And I have to say that they were a very impressive lot of people. They were very, very smart, very articulate, very organized. They had a wonderful vision for the city of Atlanta. They wanted Atlanta to be the city of the hill, city in the southeast, an up-and-coming city. A city friendly to business, a city what everyone would want to come to, the shining city on the hill. And I have to admit that after listening to them, I was very impressed with them and very seduced by their vision of what they wanted to see Atlanta be. It was a wonderful vision, except that not everyone was welcomed in their vision. The poor and the homeless in downtown Woodruff Park was not welcomed in their vision. They had to find a way to get rid of the poor, the homeless people in the city that was giving the city a black eye. During the Olympics, they even provided monies for the homeless to be shipped out of town
until the Olympics was over. But they did everything they could to make life difficult for homeless people in the city. So it was a compelling vision that they had for the city of Atlanta. But unfortunately, it wasn't a vision that included everyone, especially those who were the most vulnerable. Then we had an opportunity to talk to that other Atlanta, to other segments of the city. We went to a homeless night shelter at the Central Presbyterian Church in downtown Atlanta, and we stayed all night at the night shelter there. And there we saw a group of ladies coming in to wash the feet of homeless people. A group of ladies who I assume were members of the church, but they came in actually to wash the feet of homeless people. People had been walking all day. Some people hadn't washed their feet in God knows how long. They were washing feet that I wouldn't have touched with your gloved hands, but they were there washing people's feet. They were letting their light shine. And then from there we went to the Butler Street Baptist Church early in the morning with the homeless people. We got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we went to the Butler Street Baptist Church where the homeless were given a free breakfast of grits and eggs and coffee. And we waited there in line. And when we got into the church, we noticed a group of young people, high school students and college students who were serving the homeless. People who could have been doing something else that day. People could have been studying, could have been doing a lot of things, but there they were in that church serving the homeless. They were letting their light shine in the pre-dawn darkness of that hour. And from there, we went to a hospice house for young men who were dying of AIDS but had nowhere else to go. And we went into the hospice, and the middle-aged woman who was the director of the hospice was a Christian. She was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was there letting her light shine. And from there, we went to a jail, and we went to examine the people who were there in jail, many of them young men who had no other opportunities, young men who didn't have a prospect for being employed. The jails was a state-of-the-art, multi-million dollar complex filled up. And we went into the jail, and the lady who was showing us around was a Christian, and she said how much she enjoyed doing work here, there, in that jail with the young men, and she was a Christian, and she was letting her light shine in the midst of that jail. And then we went to the Open Door community that was ran by two Presbyterian ministers. And there in the Open Door community was young people who had come all over, from all over the United States. They were there in the Open Door community, reaching out to homeless people, sharing their lives with homeless people, sharing space with the homeless. And there they were, letting their light shine in the midst of the darkness. And Jesus says to us that we are the light of the world. I would put that vision of those who had given themselves in self-giving love against the vision that was put forth by those in the boardrooms and the skyscrapers of the movers and shakers of Atlanta that we met from the Central Atlanta Progress any day. Because we are called to be an alternative community. We are called to be a community of hope. We are called to be a community that shows concern for all of God's people. We are called to be a light shining on a hill. This morning, you had a synopsis of what it means to be the light. Many of your contributions supported that. You support us being a light in this community. You support us being a light to those in this church who often need help. You support us being a light as we go out in our vacation Bible school and bring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to young people. And many of you are lights in your own way. Many of you go out and you do work with teenage mothers who have gotten pregnant. Are many of you go out and you work with the poor to bring justice to the poor and those who are the most vulnerable in our society? You know what it means to be God's light shining in the midst of a darkened world. But that's who we are called to be. You all are stars. We are all stars. We are all called to shine. We are called to make our light shine, to let our light shine in the midst of a darkened world. The church is no secret society that exists for itself. We are called to shine. We are called to shine in our relationships. We are called to shine with the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to shine in what it really means to be a human being made in the image of a loving God. You are the light of the world. Don't hide your light. Don't hide what you are called to be. Don't hide God's glory, but let your light shine so that all can see who you are and who you belong to in the midst of a darkened world. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for how you help us to reflect your glory. We give you thanks for your spirit that is in our midst, the spirit that helps to illumine your loving presence among us. We ask that you give us the courage and the strength and the integrity to continue to be your light in this community as we go forward being the people that you have called us to be. Help us to let our light shine in everything that we do so that all those around will know that we belong to you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.